above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. And this warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael?
Yeah.
MK?
Yeah.
And Davi?
Yeah,
boy, we've
sure
got
can.
A bunch on here. Is it working?
I feel feelings.
Although I like my delicious brain a little rare.
And also, before we get into it, I have to say this. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows the reuse of this by anyone except governments. So learn more at BIPCOT, that's BIPCOT.org.
Nice.
Well, Michael, now, I'm not the normal voice people hear tonight, and why is that?
Because we're doing an experiment here. I'm kind of sick, and I'm trying to replace myself completely from the Freedom Fiends. I'm trying to remove myself from the equation to where I'm just the man behind the curtain suggesting topics and able to jump in whenever I want and picking co-hosts and kind of running it like, you know, like a company or something. Randy, back up a little off there. I'm hearing you breathe. It's this is a teaching hospital.
Me?
You know, I actually, there's this new, well, what we're doing is, we're doing an experiment tonight. We're all fiend phoning in. There's no mixers here. No mixers at all. We're basically trying to replace the need for Comrexes or mixers, and we're all using our cheap little USB mics and fiend phoning in from our laptops, and we're trying to see how it'll work. And the second hour, I'm going to bow out completely to save my voice. And see how it goes. And I will be leaving and muting my mic from time to time to go listen on LRN to see how it sounds. But we are a teaching hospital. Unlike, according to one of my two favorite new Twitter channels. One is called Mark Edge Googling, and one is Ian Freeman Googling. And they're both parody channels, not done by those people, probably done by the same person. And whoever listens to it listens to, I think, every Free Talk Live, or as I've heard them called, Free Squawk Live. That's what my wife called them today when there was a caller that was just, she was like, this is insane. I'm so glad you guys don't take calls. This is Free Squawk Live. We like Free Talk Live, but when there's crazy callers, we call them Free Squawk Live. But so whoever does this channel listens to like every Free Talk Live, every Free Squawk Live, and every Freedom Fiends, and makes comments as if it's what Mark Edge and Ian Freeman are Googling. And one of the things that Mark Edge was allegedly Googling was Chris Cantwell podcast teaching hospice. So I like that. Like the Freedom Fiends are a teaching hospital. I guess he was saying that that some garbage podcast is a teaching hospice. And a hospice is kind of like a hospital you go to die at. So that was funny.
Like Florida is the state that people go to. Okay.
Yeah, Florida is the state. You live in Florida.
Terrible, but yeah.
Hey, but you're being overrun.
The name to the hospice state.
We're a nice place to die right now.
Tell me about it.
Well, we're under attack right now in Florida. I don't know if you guys know about this, but thousands of frenzied sharks have gathered off the coast of Florida. Tens of thousands. Sorry,
what now?
Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of frenzied sharks. So, yeah, it's the time of the year the sharks kind of get closer to the shore, and it's been freaking people out. I'm just reading a crazy headline. This it's kind of a common thing, but yeah, they've it's kind of cool pictures. I'll send you guys a link. I came across a Daily Mail article, and Florida beachgoers were warned to stay out of the water because of the frenzied sharks.
Is this happening near you?
Not on the beaches that I'm near. This is in South Florida. So
it sounds dangerous.
It's pretty scary.
I haven't really gotten over seeing Jaws for the first time.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
That was 40 years ago.
It turns out, from this article, in the 130 years between 1882 and 2012, there have been 663 shark attacks in Florida and 11 fatalities.
In how many years?
130 years. From 1882 to 2012.
I like those odds.
Yeah, right. It's not...
That's good. Technically, were the attacks in Florida or were they out in the ocean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on where Florida ends and the
Well, they probably weren't in international waters, I imagine.
You haven't been that far out. Well, the sharks are attracted to certain things, too, like jewelry. If you're wearing shiny jewelry, sometimes they're attracted to that. So it's recommended that you don't wear a lot of jewelry. And
Or bleed,
yeah. So
I just saw that on TV. I know nothing about sharks.
But they get, the article's interesting because they're getting a lot closer to the shore than usual. Usually they're way, way out and you have to really kind of wander out there. But
Crazy here?
Like, to get pretty close.
That sounds like such a minuscule amount of actual casualties that, like, the idea that a thief might be attracted to shiny jewelry would be more likely to harm you than a shark, right? Like,
shiny badges don't grant extra sharks.
That's true.
You're more likely to be attacked by Florida man than Florida shark. Okay?
I'm gonna put a disclaimer on shiny badges that says not to wear it in the oceans of Florida.
Oh, one of the things that Mark Edge was Googling, or maybe it was Ian Freeman Googling, was shiny badges don't grant extra rights.
What now?
Oh no.
Anyway, moving on. Back to the sharks.
Can you say that in Florida, Michael? I don't know.
No, it's.
I don't even know what that means. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Go.
I think we should read a bunch
I'm 12.
Of.
What is happening?
I think we should read a bunch of Mark Edge Googling. Do you guys have it pulled up there?
It's fine
it's
by
pretty
me.
Funny.
I can pull
one of
it
the
up.
Shortcomings of having this on a laptop instead of the PC is it's hard to navigate on this machine.
Yeah, but you have aren't you also on your Photoshop machine now?
Well, sort of. It's I can orient during the break so I can use both machines.
Okay. Sure.
So I went and listened on LRN. We sound great. I think we sound better than when like we're all going through my mixer and stuff. So I think this is the wave of the future. And the cool thing about this is we can do radio shows remotely from anywhere with a laptop now. How cool is that? So when you guys go to like, you know, when you're down there stuck in the 6 feet of snow in a bow tie, you can just walk around with a laptop doing a show.
We can broadcast live from a shark infested wave of the future.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Have we brought up Mark Edge's Googling?
I have. And you know,
I
already have my favorite I want to read.
Which Free Talk Live host can be replaced with a robot?
That's the one.
Well, I was going to read that. I love that one.
That's a reference. Well, it was because last night on the Freedom Fiends, we were talking about which jobs, you know, who can be replaced with a robot. And yeah. So extracting gold from poop. That's pretty interesting.
That's a good one.
I don't think that's possible.
Politicians that are literally Hitler.
That'd be one, Hitler. Yeah.
Why would
Were there no other Hitlers? There's no other famous Hitlers. I know there's other Adolfs.
Now, if Mark lived in Missouri, I would understand why he was Googling gold-plated truck nuts. But do they have that in New Hampshire?
There's rednecks in New Hampshire.
Truck nuts just cross borders without papers fairly frequently.
There was some town that some state tried to outlaw them. Do you remember
Missouri?
That?
Missouri. We had a legislator who was hell-bent on getting truck nuts outlawed in the state of Missouri. And that doesn't fly here. He might have gotten some, who knows, some threats from some truck nut fans. Because we've got those around here. And it never happened.
I've seen them here.
Well, in Wyoming, I would expect a few.
Yeah. How do you know that's what they were?
Oh.
There's really no doubt. Have you Googled them yourself?
I don't know. They could be any number of things. They could be a couple of oranges and a pair of nylons. I don't know.
That's something that Mark should be Googling is DIY truck nuts. It'd just be oranges and some nylons.
Yeah. I just I just wonder, like, does he have a legal definition for them, or does he just know them when he sees them?
He knows them when he sees them. That's funny.
Another the Chris Cantwell beard template.
What? I think that's what everyone was wearing at Porkfest, those cutout Chris Cantwell faces.
Oh, is that the idea? It's like a stencil, so you can like spray paint a Cantwell beard on your face?
Yeah.
You
know,
it's kind of like putting a bowl on your head and you cut around it or something.
I was photographed with one on my butt. That was the picture that we used on Davi's article. When do you shoot Chris Cantwell, I think was called. So are we all like relapsing from our Status Anonymous pledge here? I think we are, but I don't care.
I'm not making fun of anybody.
Here it is.
We were anything.
Wait, we were kind of making fun of fake Mark Edge because this isn't really his.
No, but it's things he might do.
If you have a Cantwell beard stencil and you miss, is it a chin beard?
A neck beard? I don't know, but I really want to know who makes Mark Edge Googling and Ian Freeman Googling. They're really funny. I want to buy this guy a beer.
I want to know so bad.
Or girl. But I kind of...
But I like the mystery.
Yeah.
I love the mystery too much. Like, I want to know, but like I love the mystery. So
I wish it was a
fight myself
Google
for messaging
offered.
Them.
All right. He also Googled erectile dysfunction during the Freedom Fiends.
And to which I responded, I have that effect on a lot of men.
Yeah, have there been reports of that?
I don't know, man.
I don't think you can say erectile on the radio. I think you should say something, a substitute.
ED. Like it's ED. Reptile
dysfunction.
Executive director?
Executive director dysfunction. Chris Cantwell, real life Peter Griffin. That's pretty funny.
I like the Ian Freeman Googling one. There's one, Buzz Dance Party Pirate.
That's kind of really inside baseball. But these all are, really.
Yeah, they all are. So
I like, does firefighting violate the non-aggression principle?
Right.
Because you're attacking something.
Yeah, I believe they wanted their house fire, to burn. The fire started it, though, see. So.
Oh, it initiated
it's
it.
It's self-defense.
Oh, I love this one, the Ian Freeman Googling. Are arbitrarily long titles for podcast episodes bad search engine optimization?
That's a Fiends reference, because we were talking about that the other night.
So this person must listen to the Fiends, because these sound like jokes you've heard on the show.
Yeah. Sure does. All right. Worms. We're going to go to the flea market. That's my new one.
Since it's not actually free?
Yeah, since it's, you know, under governments. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
This is the Freedom Fiends, the show where all 14 hosts can be replaced by a robot. And tonight we're trying it out. So what
one
do you guys
robot
got?
Or 14 robots?
One robot with 14 channels.
Okay. Is that schizophrenia if it's a robot, or is it just like parallel processing?
I don't know. Yeah, it's parallel processing.
I think that's what schizophrenia is, really. So where are we going? You guys want to talk Better Call Saul? You want to read some more Twitter?
Well, we better talk about something, or I'm going to just start like reading the Constitution and celebrating it.
Are we going to read the internet on the radio?
Yes.
Why is Ian Freeman Googling low orbit ion cannon, city of Keene? I think they're wanting to get one. Is that what this is?
Yeah, a lot of it sounds like this person thinks that Free Talk Live are envious of the Fiends somehow. Like, so they get erectile dysfunction when we're on, and they want what we have.
Now, that's not possible.
The low-orbit ion cannon, is it a geosynchronous orbit? Because that's what that sounds like.
Yeah, but ours is only a little bit off the ground. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yeah.
Michael is off away from the microphone. We're lucky that he can even hear us.
Yeah. You know? Oh, no, this is your show. You guys make it. What do you want to make it?
So
no,
the low-orbit ion cannon is... Like
it's actually a piece of software. Like, it's actually a piece of software used for hacking people.
hacking people, not hacking computers. It's like a chainsaw.
Yes.
Say, when was the when was the Liberty Forum in New Hampshire? When was that?
A couple weeks ago.
Well, around that time, it seems that Ian was Googling stealing hotel towel, NAP.
I wish that Google offered this service. Like, I think it would be cool if I could, like, hook up my Twitter to my Google and just have it tweet things that I search for. I think that's neat.
It kind of lazy in a way. Kind of gutsy, though, too.
You know what? Have you guys come across Let Me Google That For You?
Yes, I love Let Me Google That For You.
If Let Me Google That For You. Like, rather than Google, Let Me Google That For You should offer this service where you could hook up Twitter to Let Me Google That For You, and it would tweet quick links from Let Me Google That For You into your Twitter account. Whoever runs that site, like, get on it. This is $1 million idea, and it would put you back on the map. So, there you go. That's my endorsement.
Here's another Google from Ian. This is something that may be coming that you can see on the video feed from Free Talk Live. He Googled convert radio studio to standing desks. That's kind of interesting. Have you got any of that going?
That's a Freedom Fiends thing too, because around the time that was put on here, I was talking about that I'd converted my studio to standing desk, which I've since unconverted.
Are you back laying horizontally in bed these days?
Yeah, man. I'm upside down. I'm like a bat.
Yeah, I'm kind of halfway. I'm in a recliner. Yeah. It works.
I have an old-fashioned office chair. I'm so boring.
I'm across the room looking for the charger for my camera, and I have to keep running back because you guys keep having dead air. So just keep talking so I can find my camera charger.
Okay, well... Now, another one, Ian was searching, he typed define jackass activism, something. Am I getting that right? Jackass activism. Is that something
I don't know what that is.
New Hampshire?
It must be.
Probably just came up and he wanted to know what it was.
Because who wouldn't?
Kind of, I want to know. Anybody doing that now?
I thought Davi coined that word, didn't he?
I don't think so.
You know, it sounds like something Davi would have done. Come on, Davi.
Somebody described Cantwell as being a jack activist.
No, I don't think you remember that.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what he wrote here. Jackass-tivism, I believe. it was written.
An astivist?
Well, I don't know if we've had, if there's enough of this. Was there another one that we wanted to...
Well, it kind of makes me think of the show Jackass, which is sort of like reality TV, people doing stupid stunts. Like, I could see how that could be a kind of activism if the stunt was right.
Teen phone is one of the things that was supposedly Googled by Mark Edge.
What's teen
phone? I don't know.
Is it the Twilight version of Fiend Phone?
Maybe.
Does it have glitter?
But, you know, I think the picture on this, I think the picture of Mark Edge, I think this is his mugshot.
Yeah.
From back in the day, from Florida, when he was Florida man in wrong place
at
wrong time. You know, I don't think anyone's ever said that. Mark Edge was Florida man for one day once.
What's Florida man?
It's a Twitter feed.
Oh, it's a Twitter.
Oh, explain the glory of it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Right.
are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back, everyone. And
we were still
we're rudderless ship. Are we still on Twitter?
No, we're looking. We were looking at the Twitter feed that Ian Freeman, where his Googles appear. And I found one that I'm not so sure about, where Ian Googled, does an evil Ian Freeman without a beard exist in another dimension?
Oh. Bizarro Ian Freeman?
Well, the problem with that, of course, anyone who's seen Star Trek...
Beards are evil.
Yes. It should be, does a good Ian Freeman without a beard exist in another dimension? But I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It seems like it would be kind of fitting in, I guess, libertarian world where beards are kind of seen as a good thing, right? I mean, it seems like more libertarians.
Why is that?
Prefer the beards.
I hate wearing. I've never liked facial hair on myself. I feel like after a week, I just shave, and like I'll wake up if I don't shave for a week. In the middle of the night, I'll wake up like itching and run and like I'll sleep shave. That's how much I hate
sleep shave.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. It's it shields your face. It's kind of good for your skin.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, in Bizarro World, is it being from Bizarro World that makes you evil, or is it the beard that makes you evil?
It's the beard.
I think it's being from Bizarro World.
Is it the beard?
But you have a beard
in Bizarro
there.
World?
I don't know.
But could it, a good guy could grow a beard, and it wouldn't be evil.
What about Bizarro Uhura? Did she have a beard? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know if there was one. I think it was a Bizarro Troy, perhaps.
Ian Freeman is Googling Freedom Fiends fan fiction. Maybe the answer to your question would be in that fan fiction.
Oh, perhaps.
It's possible. Do our fans write fiction? And if so, what's it based on? Is it like stories about us?
I don't know.
I think that a Bizarro Fiends would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, if it was, like, the radio show that would broadcast in the complete totalitarian state. It was just sort of like...
But they still said worms.
They still said worms because they were mandated by the government to say worms. If they're ever told to say something else, well, then they just always said that and never said worms. That's just the way it works.
If they stop saying it, they've been contacted by freedom.
Yeah. I've been contacted by someone other than the government.
Yeah, there you go. Because everyone works for the government in Bizarro World.
Yeah.
It would be like a suspect anomaly to be contacted by someone who's not working for the government.
The private sector is sort of like the undocumented labor market, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, ooh, don't go to the private sector. Those are the people that hang out and do under the work cash table or under the table cash work. I know
that's what they want. I mean,
nothing but trouble. They're nothing.
It's kind of getting to that point where I think the government wants people to feel like if you're outside the government system, there's something wrong with you. I think they try to portray
unofficial.
That. I mean, with things like, did you guys see the thing today of like the Fed is telling? Supposedly, the federal government is telling banks to call the police if someone takes out more than $5,000 cash from the bank account.
Is this true?
Yeah, I tried to find verification on that.
You know,
I don't
know if it's true or not, because
now
I went and read the thing. I went and read the thing that it linked. It was from the government, and I didn't see the word $5,000 or the word dollars in there. But
did you see the word onion? I'm just
no,
curious.
I know the source that came from, but the laws is. They exist now are pretty bad as far as
they have like taken people's bank account for taking $10,000 out or putting $10,000 in.
Well, no, what it is, well, no, what that rule is, the $10,000 rule is actually a cash transaction report that the bank automatically sends. It's not really that bad of a thing. What they usually get people on that's even worse is people who try to avoid the cash transaction report.
Are you saying it's not that bad of a thing because it keeps people from hacking your bank account?
No. People try to avoid it because they think it's worse than it actually is, and so they end up doing something called structuring, where they're taking out tiny or smaller amounts, just under $10,000 multiple times. And that looks suspicious because it looks like you're trying to avoid that reporting thing. That's what they got. You guys were talking about Kent Hovind on an episode. The last one Randy was on, and that's one of the charges that he had. And it's something that we have to warn clients about where I work, because it's serious. That gets the feds called on you, basically, if you're trying to avoid that cash transaction reporting, which, I mean, it's not good that they're reporting that, you know. I'm not trying to say it's a good law or anything like that, but it's, they do, I mean, tens of thousands a day, and they're very benign. Like, it's just, they send, you know, an alert out, and it's not really, it's not as scary as the article makes it out to be. And though I saw the article you were talking about, I couldn't find any verification of the claims in it.
So speaking of large cash transactions, let's segue to Saul, because I'm not going to be on the second hour. So you guys want to talk about the latest Better Call Saul? Spoiler alert. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, so the latest episode was called RICO. And I dug it. I feel like Saul's kind of starting to get some teeth now. And but he's still doing the elder law thing, so it's like he's
but it's setting up for something. I think he's gonna have a huge class action suit because some company is screwing all the elders.
So I got a legal question. Randy, can you actually write a legal letter or document of some kind on toilet paper and expect it to be honored as a real legal demand?
Well, honored is one thing, but it doesn't matter what you write something on.
I miss an episode? Maybe I missed this.
I'm talking about the one that was on Monday.
He wrote the demand letter on toilet paper in the back of a piece of cardboard and sent that to for the nursing home.
No, if you know about the class action lawsuit, then you saw this episode.
Because I saw the one before it that had next week on Better Call Saul, and there was like a teaser about something. It was in the preview.
You missed it.
Yeah, I'm going to go off. Spoiled. I'm going to leave the show and let you guys finish the show, and I'm going to go download it and watch it, and maybe in the last segment of the second hour, I'll jump on and discuss it. So have a great show, guys. I will be monitoring here and there, but take care. All right? Worms.
All right.
Okay. So to set up the question, what's essentially gone on is Saul or Jimmy is doing elder law, which means he's sort of going to assisted living facilities and helping people write their wills and helping people manage their estates and whatever. And one of the women who he writes a will for, he doesn't have enough money to pay him. And she says, well, I'll pay you next week when I get my allowance. And he's like, I just did your estate. What do you mean allowance? Like, you have these like Social Security assets, and you have these like you shouldn't be on an allowance. What are you talking about? And she explains that the assisted living facility essentially manages all of her finances and then just like gives her some money at the end of the week. And this is suspicious. And so he goes looking into it, and he discovers a lot of the other people are also in this situation. And so he starts trying to figure out why this is happening and whatever. The essential class action lawsuit is that they're being overcharged for things that that are sort of everyday items, like government money, like $100 for a hammer and $50 for a roll of toilet paper and things like that.
All right.
But so he goes to the facility, and the woman, the clerk, won't let him in, and says that he's harassing the residents and she wants him removed from the premises. And so he says, "Oh, well, let me use the restroom." And he goes in the restroom and writes a demand letter for something. Randy, do you know what the demand was?
It was a demand letter, complaining about the way that the nursing home was cheating the residents, and it was a demand letter that he sent. I don't know if he sent it to the nursing home or to their attorneys, he knew who they were, but making a demand that they pay damages for cheating the old people and taking their money the way that he thought they were taking them from the old lady that was his client.
Right.
And that was why the guy ended up calling him and basically laughing off his demand. And, that was the whole story that goes on from there, that he's trying to put together this claim against this big nursing home company that has a dozen different, a dozen different nursing homes in other states and things like that. And he enlists Chuck, his brother, comes in and helps. And, you know, that's kind of the sub theme of it. I thought it was kind of interesting. You remember the backstory at the very beginning of the show when he gets the he gets a letter. He's the mail boy at Hamlin and McGill.
Yeah.
That's his job. Jimmy. Jimmy's working there in a flashback, and the letter comes, and he takes it in to Kim, who's working there, and says, "I can't open it. You open it and read it for him." And it says that he's passed the bar. And I think we already know that he's a graduate of the University of American Samoa. And
which is apparently more real than we've been led to believe.
I don't know how real it is or not. He in the show, we find out that Jimmy has flunked the bar twice, and now he's finally passed it. And then he wants to get on with the firm, and of course Hamlin, you know, says no, we're not going to. Says we'll reassess it in 6 months.
You know,
months,
that seems
not going
to
hire him.
The scene in the Xerox machine when Hamlin is telling Jimmy off, and it's like you're behind glass, and so you can't hear what they're saying, and you're just listening to the Xerox machine run. I felt like that was a little too artsy for me. Like, I wanted to know what was actually being said.
Well, I think that Hamlin was trying to sugarcoat it in a way, you know, maybe not. Maybe he's saying, you know, we would never hire anybody at a prestigious law firm like this that had a degree from the University of American Samoa. Or he might have said, we're not hiring somebody that flunked the bar twice. I mean, a lot of times, flunking the bar once... Well, sure. There's plenty of people that get jobs at real high-priced, high-paying law firms when they get out of law school, and then they graduate in May. They take the bar in the summer, and in the fall they find out if they passed. And if they didn't pass, they're gone. And that's the way it goes. You know, especially with the big firms, they don't take anybody the second rate, supposedly. Sorry, they didn't take me.
So this is the Freedom Fiends, and we'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Dobby Barker with MK Lords and Randy England talking about Better Call Saul. This latest episode was called Rico, and I'd never heard of that, but Randy, you tell me that's a real thing. Can you explain to me what Rico is?
Yes, well, I've never had a Rico case, but Rico is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, and this was something that was enacted back in the 70s or...
Wait, racketeer-influenced corrupt organizations. So, yeah, like the military.
So it's like RICO. Yeah.
No? And does that count?
What it is, it was focused on racketeering, you know, like think the mafia, mobsters, and stuff like that. And
okay.
The idea was to get at the leaders of the mafia or the syndicate, so that they could be responsible for all the bad things that their organization did.
So I'm not that familiar with racketeering either. The only context in which I know the term is Smedley Butler's quote that war is a racket, and he was a racketeer for whatever. As a military guy, he said he was a racketeer. So what is a racketeer?
Well, Smedley was saying that the government, the politicians were gangsters. They're criminals. Then the war is their racket. It's a way to get money illegally. And there's probably, you know, as many ways to do that as your imagination would allow. But under RICO, I think as little as I know about RICO, you can bring a lawsuit against a civil lawsuit. This is a federal crime, not crime, but usually a civil lawsuit. It's a federal statute. That's what I was looking for. And you can get, I think, the punishment, you know, for this conspiracy thing almost is triple damages. And that was the thing that got people's attention in this scam in the nursing home in Better Call Saul, because Saul caught them cheating their nursing home residents. And now if they cheated them out of, you know, $5 million, then you could conceivably get $15 million back, and that would be a big payoff for Saul or Jimmy.
Well, I think bigger than that. I think the damages they quoted was like $100,000, and then like the lawyers wanted $20 million. It was pretty.
Yeah.
So I guess
asked for $20 million.
Why does Interstate Commerce make it a RICO case? I don't understand what that means.
Well, if you don't, a lot of federal laws require. The Congress has often required that something happen across a state line for it to become a federal offense. So that, you know, when you have a gun weapons charge in federal
court.
That's so court,
quaint. We don't have that anymore.
Well, I don't know. Anything that keeps the feds out, you know, is fine with me. So, you know, if they have to jump through a hoop this illegal gun you have was manufactured in Pennsylvania and prove it, that's one more hoop they have to jump through before they can convict you.
So the logic here, if I get it right, is that there's the interstate commerce clause in the Constitution, and so once you're engaged in interstate commerce, it becomes a federal issue and not a state issue, and that's why RICO attaches. Is that the idea?
And that's how they bootstrap the feds into what seems like just the business of people on a state local level. And the feds come in if the thing crossed a state line somehow. And you find that in federal law all the time, that if something just starts in a state and ends in a state and doesn't go anywhere else, it frequently won't qualify for prosecution by the feds.
Now, although, is that still the case? Because this reminds me of something I heard maybe a year ago, where the Obama administration was saying that local farming still constituted interstate commerce, because if you grew corn and ate corn in your own city, in your own state, you were depriving interstate corn crops of the business, and therefore local business counted as interstate commerce. Is that a standard, or was that just something they were floating?
Well, of course, when you grow something, you're creating it. And I guess, and in that case with the crops, it affects the whole country, supposedly. I don't mean to say this argument like I believe in it. It's baloney.
Yeah,
it's all baloney.
It's like a reverse application.
For the record, Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and we'll have more of that after the break.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Hey guys.
How's it going?
Hey,
every time I hear BIPCOT, I imagine someday it's going to be a theme park and there's going to be a BIPCOT center. And then they're going to get sued by whatever that other center is that sounds like that. And it's going to be a dispute between intellectual property licenses.
You know, there's a big difference.
I'm pretty scared of Disney in this.
Is that Disney?
There's a huge difference between
Epcot. There you go.
An EP and a BIP. They're just nothing alike.
Nothing. Not even similar.
I don't even know what it is.
Especially since Epcot would allow government agents. I wouldn't assume that BIPCOT would, you know.
We've got the leading lepophilologists on the phone to talk about the difference between the etymology between BIP and EP. No, it wasn't lepophilologist. What was the word? What was the linguist word?
Do
you know what a lepophilologist is? It's one of the most fascinating professions I've ever heard of in my life.
Absolutely not. No.
A lepophilologist is a person who studies the conjunction between mythology about rabbits and stories about UFOs.
Huh.
Little known fact, the first American to be abducted by aliens, Bugs Bunny.
Do you have any proof for any of this?
No.
I'm gonna need to see some documents.
This is just one of those things. Lepophilology is like on the fringes of the conspiracy tinfoil hat crowd. There are the lepophilologists who believe it's sort of like Donnie Darko is almost a hat tip to lepophilology with bunny mask.
That weird bunny.
Yeah. Oh, so there's lots of things like that. If you look at the movie E.T., when the ship lands, there's a family of bunnies that run away. you'd be amazed.
Wait a second.
The lepophilology is a rabbit hole down which you do not want to go because it just goes deeper and deeper.
So wait, did this come about like the same way other conspiracies came about? Like people just kind of chopped together footage of like they noticed that like bunnies and UFO like movies or shows or something, there was some kind of symbology and they just pointed that out and they're like, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a link. Or how did this come about? I need to know more.
I honestly don't know. I don't have any clue. I came across lepophilology at a pagan convention in like the early 2000s, and someone like listed off all of these strange cases of UFO abductions involving bunny rabbits. There's also like Ireland has this sort of famous I think his name's Murphy, and it's like a giant 6 foot tall bunny rabbit that people can only see when they're drunk. Or there's the whoa.
Is that an alarm of some sort?
It was. I don't know what that
really
was.
Rabbit abductions?
Abductions by rabbits. The idea
is
rabbits. Or just the general conjunction
kind of
UFOs and bunny rabbits.
Oh, I thought maybe like they took a right turn at Albuquerque or something and were never heard from again.
No, well, you're saying the bunnies are the aliens.
Well, I mean, that's one of the theories, okay? But it might also be that they're spies, or it might be that, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
They would make the perfect spy. They're so cuddly and just harmless seeming. And
I think we have gone way into the weeds on this one. We should talk about this lawyer in Florida.
Okay, we were talking about law in the last hour, so let's bring it back around. And Florida, too. So here's something that combines both of them.
Well, you know, there was... The article, we were talking about this attorney in Florida.
Yeah.
It's in Florida, isn't it? And this has been out there for about a month now, but it's kind of fascinating. There's an article, I think, that's still out there called "Can a Legal Loophole Get You Through DUI Checkpoints?" And I don't know if it's exactly a loophole or not, but in a DUI checkpoint, of course, here in Missouri, we call them DWI, but I think it's all the same thing, and they're legal in every state. The state and the Supreme Court has said that it's okay for them to set up roadblocks and check everybody at the roadblocks. Something about, since it's a highway, the stop has to have something to do with your driving. They can stop and check for... Yeah. Driver's licenses usually is it, and insurance, things that have to do with safety. One thing they can't do, they normally can't stop you, you know, for a, well, it's problematic if you're stopping somebody for drugs, but you can always stop them for it to check their license and that, and then while you're at it, you get to smell their breath and hear them talk and see if their speech is slurred and figure out whether they're on, you know, they're intoxicated or something like that. So this attorney in Florida, I think his name is Warren Redlich, has put together this flyer. And from what I've seen, it's available in maybe half a dozen states where the lawyers in those states have kind of updated the flyer to have their state law relevant on it. But what the thing says, and when you come up to a DWI or DUI checkpoint, when you pull up, you're supposed to leave your window up, and then and the cop is standing there right next to you, and you hold the sign up to the window that says, "I remain silent," which of course is your right, and it says, "No searches," and then it says, these are all in huge letters, "I want my lawyer."
Yes.
And then it goes on. Go ahead.
What if you write it on toilet paper? I'm just curious.
Is it still valid?
You want them to be able to read it, though.
Yeah.
But then it goes on to say some other things. In Florida, I think it said, please put any tickets under the windshield wiper. Mm-hmm. And then it says, I am not required to sign. And then they have some Florida... thing that says
the statute,
the statute number that says that you don't have to sign, and I don't think we have that in my state, but in Florida maybe that's true. And then it says, I am not required to hand you my license, and then they have the statute that says that you don't have. It doesn't say you don't have to. The statute will say something like, your license shall be displayed upon demand of an officer. So you just hold your license up to the window right under the sign.
Now, and he looks like he's covering up his address in this photo. Is that valid?
I think that's for our benefit, I believe.
You wouldn't want that on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, this is important in Florida because Florida cops are pretty notoriously bad. And a friend of mine actually was thrown to the ground outside of, it was during the time where they were having that Chick-fil-A protest thing about gay marriage. And he went down to take some footage of people out there for his show. And the police asked him, you know, they were like, what are you doing here? Because people didn't want him taking video. And he started immediately like, oh, I don't have to answer questions, things like that. And they'd asked him for his ID. He didn't immediately present it, but they pretty immediately like threw him to the ground, kind of threw his camera down, arrested him, and kind of, you know, gave him trouble and stuff like that. And this happens quite a bit. I mean, and they set up checkpoints around where I'm from in neighborhoods sometimes too, like problematic neighborhoods. You know, they go on these like crime sweeps, and you know, they'll block off an area, and then it's all, they'll do checkpoints through there. And it's really disturbing, because a lot of people don't know their rights when it comes to these things. They just see the police, and you know, they just think that they have to comply. And this lawyer, it's a great, like you were saying, Randy, it's a great image, because these are large letters. It's really easy to read, just invoking your right to remain silent and tell them to not have searches. I've been searched before by cops for no reason, for like having a broken headlight out, and harassed. And this is in the article that I wanted to point something out. They're talking about Mothers Against Drunk Driving is not very happy with what this lawyer is doing. Apparently they don't want you to know that you have rights when it comes to these things.
They should get a phone call from Drunks Against Mad Mothers and set them straight on this whole issue.
I know, right?
How would you pronounce that, Davi?
it's damn.
Yeah.
You guys have heard of damn, against right? Drunks mothers. Against Mad Mothers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, these are like the, you know, what about the children people? And, you know, I understand it's a heated issue, but they're worried that it could allow impaired drivers to bypass the law. But these are people who would have much more draconian laws if they really wanted them. And they do. I mean, I've even spoken with people who are like, oh, yeah, I mean, if you've ever driven just a little bit buzzed, you should have your license taken away from you forever. I've had conversations with people like in my house, actually. I mean, it's. People, I understand being responsible and being against drunk driving, you know, as a principle and all of that. But a lot of people, when you set up these checkpoints, it's just an excuse for the cops to harass people, really. I doubt that they're very serious about catching people who are driving under the influence. I think this is a way to kind of shake people down.
And they enjoy the fact that they get a lot of drugs this way. I mean, they catch. They're out there for the whole thing. This is the excuse to pull you over and to get into your stuff. And sure, they're going to get some people that are intoxicated, but they get a lot more than that. I mean, they keep their statistics about everything they arrested people for on this particular stop, and you can even get copies of the after action report for each stop. They have, I know in my state, and I assume in most of them, they have to do a kind of a lengthy report that's done by the supervisor when these things are over. So you can, you know, see what happened. They have to conduct it in exactly a certain way. You know, the way that they set these things up, if they can, if they like to have a controlled access road, if possible. And right before you're coming up to an exit, they'll have a sign that says DWI checkpoint or drug checkpoint or something 1 mile or 2 miles ahead. And people go, whoa, and they get off at the exit. And, of course, the checkpoint's at the top of the exit right there. I mean, line number one starts right there. It's a trap. And, oh, they do that. They do that anytime they possibly can. That's just standard procedure because they get more people. What it does is it's the people self-select themselves. I mean, why? And in one sense, I guess you can appreciate them saying, why should I hassle anybody but the drunks? So in one sense, they tend to catch more people that they can get a good case against rather than just anybody taking their chances.
Worms. Yeah, the big problem is when they expand it out into the neighborhoods. It's real scary.
I don't like that. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
We're back. It's the Freedom Fiends. And we're going to drop some mad legal advice on you, I guess. Randy, you wanna lay out what we were talking about over the break?
Well, this is mad, but it's not legal advice because I'm only an attorney. I shouldn't say an attorney. I don't even like that word. I'm a lawyer in Missouri, and so
what's the difference between an attorney and a lawyer?
Well, an attorney's kind of highfalutin, and a lawyer's just a lawyer. So,
okay, you know,
attorneys like to put they don't say I'm lawyer at law or whatever like that. But I'm good with lawyer. It doesn't matter to me. I personally don't even care for the licensing system and all of that. But nobody asked me. But anyway, we were talking about this attorney in Florida that's made this flyer that you can stick up in the window, and on it, you know, he's saying, I'm remaining silent, I won't agree to a search, and I want my lawyer, you know, in big letters. And then below that, it's got some more stuff like giving him the legal statutes that say I don't have to hand you my license or my insurance. And he has the exact statute on there showing that he does not have to hand it to them. In other words, he doesn't have to open the window. And he writes on there, thus, I am not opening my window. Of course, the beauty of not opening the window is that the very first indicators that a cop wants or has to get into your business is to hear your slurred speech or smell the odor of alcohol emanating from inside the vehicle, as they would say it. And when it comes time for court, it's going to be your word against his.
Or and, lie about smelling other things in,
oh,
in
they
the car
could smell
too,
something else,
as
too,
has
yes.
happened. And they will lie about it, too, whether or not that smell is there, just to get in the car. So they are legally allowed to lie to you.
And I can't see the slightest difference between them telling the truth and lying, because once you get to court, the only thing that's going to be there is them saying that they smelled it or something.
Yep.
But, well, possibly. I mean, if you really are drunk and you end up getting in and blowing, I mean, if it shows that you're drunk on your behind, that would be some evidence to say that the cop was not lying. But it's easy to say, I smelled something, so now I'm going to get into your business. So anyway, the beauty of this thing is that he writes on there, thus, I am not going to open my window, so you're not going to hear my voice, and you're not going to smell my breath or anything else coming out of this car. And then the last thing he writes on the bottom of it is, I will comply with clearly stated lawful orders. So that puts you in
kinda...
It's kind of neat in one sense, in that if you play it all like this, you put the stuff up so they can see the license, see the insurance, and all of that. I mean, if the cop wants to break out the window, well, if the cop was going to break out the window, you probably ought to roll it down, you know, because they're going to get in there anyway. But on the other hand, if you didn't roll it down and they did something illegal, like to break out your window when they have no probable cause, could really be a problem for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was something on the sign that I didn't realize. It says, I'm not required to sign, and he's talking about the ticket, and it lists the Florida statute.
The Florida statute, yeah. And
Why would this be problematic? You mentioned there may be an issue with this.
It's going to be problematic in a lot of places. I don't know in Florida. It may be that the Florida statute literally says you don't have to sign it. They can't make you sign it or not. We don't care. But in my state, and I know in a lot of states, the purpose of signing that ticket, or they call it a summons, is that at the top, it says on there, you know, your name and address and what they're accusing you of doing. But at the top, it always says you have a court date here in, you know, such and such a court address, such and such a time, be there. And so at the bottom, when they have you to sign it, you're agreeing to show up in court when you are supposed to be in court. And that's what signing it is. And in my state, and I'm sure in many other states, if you refuse to sign the ticket, you could very well simply get arrested on the spot, and the cop would totally be within his rights. He would just say, look, I tried to be nice. I was not going to take them in. I wasn't going to arrest them as long as they agreed to come and sign it. But this guy, he was so drunk, he just told me to go to hell. And so I had to take him in, take his picture, fingerprint him, and bond him out so a bondsman would make sure that he showed up into court on the day that he was supposed to. So you don't want to provoke that, of course. I really kind of part company with this particular flyer on not signing tickets. I think if you're really asking to push this over the edge, if you happen to have a taillight out, he's written you a ticket for it, and you're still refusing to sign the ticket. You got a problem then, because he's liable to, he can do anything he needs to arrest you at that point.
Man, it's pretty terrifying to think about.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. Abducting bunny rabbits off of Google searches. I'm shocked how little there is about lepophilology on the internet. I would have thought this was an extensive sort of wide field of study, and there'd be a Wikipedia page and an organization and Mothers Against Abducted Bunny Rabbits or something like that. Like,
the internet has kind of let you down in this.
It really has. It makes me, like, it's almost like lost time, you know, like when you're abducted by aliens. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's like a whole day disappears and you're like, I don't know where it went. And for me, this is what lepophilology is. Like, I know this is a thing. I have met lepophilologists and discussed with them things like, you know, the White Rabbit and Alice in Wonderland and things like that. And suddenly it's not on the internet. And to have something exist and not be on the internet, I mean, it just smacks of conspiracy theory to me. Well, so
could be the real conspiracy.
Yeah. I mean, the bunny rabbits could be the ones behind everything. For all if we it's, know.
If we thought it was cats, but it was really bunny rabbits.
Facebook page.
There is one, because I never heard
there's
of it.
There's a lepophilology Facebook page.
Anything I find at all would be delightful and more than I expected. But you think that it should be fleshed out a bit more.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, I know that it exists, and I know there's a lot of research on the subject, and I've heard speakers talk about it, and it just doesn't appear that it has gotten onto the internet for some reason.
So are any of you guys...
What are these bunnies hiding?
Yeah.
They're probably trying to drive under the influence. That's probably what they're trying to do.
So yeah, well, I want to talk about tickets. So I am not a sovereign citizen by any means. I'm a connoisseur of conspiracy theories, but that's not one of the ones that I subscribe to. But I do think that words have meaning, and I do think that, you know, I like... At least I don't think they hold any legal weight, but I do think that philosophically it holds weight. And to me, it's obligated to, if you're obligated to sign, then that means that there's a consequence if you refuse to sign it. And if you refuse to sign something and there's a consequence, then that means that you're under duress. And if you're under duress, your signature doesn't mean anything. So help me out here. What am I missing?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you're the lawyer. You're the one who wants me to sign a parking ticket. I don't want to sign a parking ticket.
That wouldn't be me. That would be the cop that wanted you to sign the parking ticket.
Well, that was your legal advice, wasn't it?
You're saying, well, I was just saying that some bad things can happen. Well, first of all, you know, what they call a ticket or a summons, or I think they call it a uniform citation or something. When you get one of these tickets, like I said, at the top, you know, it tells you, you know, where you're supposed to appear in court and when, that sort of thing. And it's got your name on it. And it says the offense that you committed. and that sort of thing. But down at the very bottom, it says, I promise to dispose of the charges of which I am accused through court appearance or prepayment of fine and court costs. Because they, if it's a traffic ticket, they're going to give you a piece of paper and maybe an envelope to send the money and the signed ticket, you know, where you not the signed ticket, but like if you turn the ticket over and there's a place to sign guilty, you can send your copy of the ticket and the money in and be done with it. And then all you have to worry about is whether you're going to lose your license or get points against it or however your state does that. But the signature, you know, I guess, you know, it's natural to feel like the signature on a traffic ticket is some sort of agreement. You know, I mean, you would normally be kind of afraid that you were admitting to something.
But well, are you under duress, though? Like, that's my point is, aren't you under duress when you sign this thing?
You are under duress, of course. I mean, you've got a cop there. And after I, you know, say what I'm saying about it, I guess you'd be under more duress because a cop has the right to arrest you physically, put you in handcuffs and take you in and make you bond out for any crime. And crime is a real loose word, like speeding is a crime.
Sure.
And, you know, if it's a violation of state law, some city ones might not be, but a violation of, say, state law, it's a crime. It's a misdemeanor crime, probably, if it's more than 5 miles an hour over in my state, for example. I'm sure it's that way in some others. But it's a crime. And they have the right to haul you in. And they have a policy that for minor things like a traffic ticket, they don't usually take you in. They write the ticket, and if you're willing, if it's okay, if it's okay with you, if you'll just sign here and agree to show up, you know, and really you're agreeing to show up and you're agreeing that you've got the ticket, you've got notice. You're basically agreeing that you have notice that you have a court date and time, and either take care of the ticket before the court date or be there in court. And if you sign it, he's not going to haul you in. The danger, of course, is that if you don't sign it, he has every legal right to haul you in. And I've seen cops that have actually written on there, on the ticket, refused to sign and handed them the ticket anyway. And that was a semi-nice cop. But wow. I've also seen other ones where the cop just arrested them and hauled them in and said, this is what you wanted, and now you got it.
And I think a lot of people probably just sign because they want it to be over with. They're just like, I just need to get on with my day. You know, this has been an interference. You know, they just want to get out of the situation. I know I want to get away from a guy, you know, with a gun and a bunch of weapons on his belt, you know, who's harassing me. So I would think a lot of people just sign it. It's like, please, just, you know, okay, I'll sign it. Okay, experience over. I can go now. But yeah, I mean, That's a good question. Like, should you not sign it? Should you hold out and be like, you know, I don't feel compelled to sign this. I don't agree with it. And kind of risk it.
I think it's allowed fine to stand there and read the fine print before you sign it.
Well, you should read it, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm not signing that. But you need to do it with your eyes open and knowing that. Well, this, you know, if this cop's having a good day and he's not too much of a jerk, maybe he'll just write refuse to sign on that line and hand you the ticket and say, you better show up. Because of
what
course
if you, what if I write refuse to sign and hand it back to him? What happens then?
Well, that would be actually that would be bad for you in the sense that he could take it like you did it and then arrest you anyway. Yeah. Or but once you've got your handwriting on there, he could actually, you know, once again, if he was more of an easygoing cop, he might say, yeah, that's fine. That's real cute. And now I've got your handwriting sample and you've got a copy of the ticket. Try not showing up. You know, here's the thing. If he wrote refuse to sign and gave you the ticket and then they took it in, they send the ticket to the prosecutor. The prosecutor looks it up, looks it over and says, OK, yeah, this looks like a good legal charge. The prosecutor signs it. Sends it to the files it in the court, and the court date comes. And if you don't show up on the court date, It's going to be a real simple matter. The judge is just going to issue a warrant for your arrest, and they may pick you up in a week, or they may pick you up at 5 years from now. Who knows?
But they're going to do that whether you sign or not. Like, I don't understand what you're agreeing to when you sign the thing, if that's all going to happen whether you agree or not.
Oh, well, if you don't sign it and the cop isn't one of your nicer cops, he'll just arrest you and haul you in, and then you can bond out. You can get a bondsman and or pay the cash bond, and then you'll get out, you know, a couple hours later. So it's he's given you, you know, from his point of view, he's given you a break, you know, so
right.
You're not getting hauled into jail. And if you just sign here and agree that you'll take care of this by your court date or be there, then I won't arrest you. Now, they could make that a little more clear on the ticket. They could have a little checks box down there and said, you know, you can either sign here or I'm going to arrest you. Maybe that
Couldn't
would
it
make
just
it a little
be a
clearer.
Threat? Like, it just seems like such a pretense to require my signature. Couldn't it just be, here's a slip of paper. This slip of paper says, show up on this date or I'm throwing you in jail. Like, can you read English? Good. Here you go. like
they
why?
They have to go through the motions of the formalities. You know, it's
why the
to
pretense
make it seem
of
legitimate.
Consent. Like, there's no like,
there's no like, consent involved. There's no consent.
So, what does the signature mean? Like, traditionally, doesn't a signature on a legal form imply consent? Isn't that the whole point?
No, it doesn't imply consent to the charge.
No, but to the paper, you're agreeing to something, right?
Oh, you're agreeing to, well, the words were, I promise to dispose of the charges or show up in court. You, that's the only thing
but
you
promise
to.
You have to show up whether you promise to or not. The consequences are there whether you promise or not. So why the pretense? That's what I don't get.
Because
keep up appearances.
It's neater for them to have your signature on there than to just to have the cop going into court and saying, hey, I told him to be here and he's not here.
It's like a gentle kind of fascism.
Yes, in more of a sense, in that sense. And yeah, if you refused to sign and then you showed up anyway, that'd be the end of it. Well, might not be completely the end of it. When the prosecutor sees that refused to sign on there, he'll mentally tick off in his head, okay, I'm dealing with a jerk here, you know. This guy's messing with me. I really need this today. And if that's what you want to convey, you know, then by all means, do it. I haven't got a big problem, you know, with if you want to push back in your, you know, civil disobedience or everything or whatever it is that you're doing. You know, I'm just a huge fan of knowing the consequences before you do it.
Yeah.
And
so something that I've done
really
for years, and this is not. This is not an act of civil disobedience. This is not because I think this has any legal weight. I'm not a sovereign citizen or anything. But for years, I've signed government forms under duress, like as if that's my signature. And it's just because it's true. It's not because I think it means anything to them. It's because it means something to me. And I like have this principle of like I don't want to sign a form fraudulently, even if it's what they're ordering me to sign it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Even if you were the one that showed up at the government window wanting an application, I mean, if you were applied
I'm
for
still
a job,
under duress. If
you
I'm
would,
a,
you
if,
would put under duress or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I did this on passport paperwork. I did this on driver's license renewals. I did this on tax forms. this is now my signature as far as they're concerned. And the thing is, like, even if I'm the one initiating the confrontation, right? Like, if I'm going into their office and asking for a form, the only reason I'm in their office asking for a form is because I'm under duress. I'm asking for permission to do something that I should have every right to do anyway. And so I am under duress. I'm always under duress. That's what they are.
Well, of
they're
course
centrally
you're
planned
right.
duress.
Yeah, you're there that's because true. You want that. How about if you went there to register a deed when you bought a house and you wanted them to protect you by recording the deed?
That's interesting. I don't know. Let's talk about that when we get back.
Every once in a while, the government does something that's useful. It was a dirty trick.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so There you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back for the third act, is that right?
That's right.
Correctly. Well, hey, we were talking about the ticket trick, and I was wanting to ask MK if she's tried this yet, since she lives in Florida. MK,
have I tried not signing the ticket?
Well, the whole window act. The guy who did this, he's in Florida,
yeah,
and if you go to the website,
I have a story to tell about being pulled over in Florida and almost getting searched. I did decline a search and got away with it.
Very good.
I was driving with my friend to another friend's house, and we kind of got lost in one of the smaller beach towns, and it was pretty late at night, but we ended up finding our way through, and I had a headlight out. It literally went out that day. So my friend and I are driving together, and it's kind of like, we were a bit nervous, because we both had dreadlocks at the time, and, you know, it looked all hippied out and stuff, and sure enough, we encountered the only cop on this, you know, in this abandoned beach town, and he pulls us over, and the whole experience was really weird. Like his energy totally shifted once he saw my friend in the car. And we have issues down here with race still. My friend was black, and the cop was just so rude, just incredibly rude. He had me step out of the vehicle and into his cop car. He had a little cop truck actually, and asked me questions in there away from my friend. And he starts asking me all these questions.
He's going for the drugs.
He starts asking me questions about my friend and about my drugs, if I use drugs. And then he says, well, it's only because I smelled marijuana in the car. And I knew he was full of crap, because my friend and I didn't have anything on us, because we were nervous about being pulled over as two young dreadlocked youths, you know, driving around with a broken headlight. So we were very careful, and we were like, no way, you know. And I made sure to say it as close to the dash cam as I could whenever I was answering his questions. And then he's like, oh, well, he very casually tries to bring it up. You won't mind if I just take a look around in there, will you? And I was like, no, I don't consent to searches. And he was like, he got kind of, you know, oh, well, okay. He's like, well, I'm going to take the dog out anyway. And he takes his dog out and he runs it around my car, lets the dog jump up on it and get a bunch of mud like inside my car. And so, because I did have my window roll down a little bit, and he lets the dog jump in and sniff through the window and get mud like all on there. It was a mess. And he comes back, he's actually angry, like he kind of like, he's huffing and puffing in the car. He's like, well the dog didn't alert, so
well, at least he didn't,
just your
at least he didn't make anything up. He didn't make anything up. That part's
he
good
didn't.
Right,
well, and that's the part I was terrified about, because it was me and my friend. It was like, you know, 11:30 at night, no one else on the road. It would have been our word against his, and I've known people who've had drugs planted on them by the police in Florida. Yeah. I mean, I was terrified.
You were probably polite, though. I mean, when he said,
I was super polite,
I smell marijuana, you didn't say like, I smell bacon or something, right? right?
Oh, no. I said, I was like, oh, no, you're probably mistaken. I borrowed my roommate's perfume stuff, and you're probably just smelling that. That's what I told him. And he gets back in, and sure enough, he's like, oh, I guess it was just the perfume. Like, he says it really angrily. Well, I get back into my car, and my friend Teddy says to me, he's like, that's the first time I've ever been pulled over and not searched. He was so used to being pulled over and searched every single time. And he grew up in Mobile, which is about an hour north of here in Alabama. And so, you know, similar regions, similar problems. And they would harass him. I mean, he's told me horror stories where he's been in the passenger seat and they would come over and just harass him.
Does he always refuse a search, or do they not bother asking?
They wouldn't bother asking a lot of times. And I don't know that he didn't really want to, you know, enforce his rights as much because, I mean, he just wanted to cooperate and, you know.
Well, that's
it's scary. It's a very scary thing, you know, when you don't know your rights and you don't know that you can not consent to searches and remain silent and demand a lawyer. You know, even if you do get searched and they, you know, they're going to, they try to ask you casual questions too, and you can shut them off. You can be like, no, you know, I'm not answering questions without my lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone should be able to say that.
You should be able to. And of course, there's some tricky questions about whether you can remain silent or whether it can be used against you. But you can always and should always refuse any search anywhere. Don't care if it's your car, your house, your purse, your pockets. I do not consent. I mean, that is an absolute rule everyone on earth should follow.
Worms.
And I think we're out of time, aren't we?
That's right. Well, thanks, guys. It's been a good show.
Yeah.
And we seem to have gotten along fine without Michael W. Dean. So I think,
where is Michael?
The mutiny is in effect. We will take over the show and lead it into the shark-infested wave of the future.
Maybe we
need to call... Or the bunny-infested wave.
We need to call 911.
Maybe he was abducted by bunny rabbits.
Should we call 911 in Beast Lick, Wyoming to have them go check on him?
To report a bunny sighting?
Well, good night, guys.